Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome to Kinky and the Geek.
That's actually a great accent for you.
Okay.
It was very you. You tend to be kind of boisterous and jovial.
Not normally.
Yeah, you are.
Well, it depends on...
You've got, like, that deep voice and everything that was kind of like... That just screamed you to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was doing, trying to do.
Yeah.
The happy, you know, Russian slash Greek slash...
Mm-hmm.
You know, Italian
African
innkeeper,
even.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that going African.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just something. I had nothing else. It's just...
The turtle, I think it
worked.
The
big word, okay.
Oh. Hey, welcome to Kinky and the Geek.
Yeah,
I'm Kinky Fleshvine.
And I'm Mighty Bill the Geek.
Yay.
Yep. And we're back alone again.
Yeah, just us. Yeah. It was so fun having Amber on last week.
Yeah, and then also
Phantom
and Aruka last week.
Yeah, this is the first time we've recorded alone in...
At least three episodes, yeah.
Yeah, probably a month. Wow.
Yeah.
God, what the hell are we going to talk about?
Well, we're doing it before.
I mean, I like you and everything, but God.
Hey, we did it before. We might do it again.
I'm all low energy girl, which, you know, big shock.
Yeah.
I didn't get any sleep.
Yeah. Actually, you should just, that should be the stand. That's the given.
Right.
And it's when you actually get some sleep
that.
In. Yeah.
Yeah, I should actually record that and just post it at the beginning.
You know,
like a... you know, disclaimer.
Yeah.
And there's... Kinky has gotten no
sleep. Yeah. Warning. Kinky the Geek contains a sleepy flesh vine.
Right. That seems to be pretty par for the course.
Well, so. Again, I didn't sleep. I had one of those weird... I guess I'm sleeping, but not. Because it's one of those things where you're falling asleep and something wakes you up.
Yeah.
And then you can't get back to sleep.
See, my dogs wake me up like 3 or 4 times a night.
Oh, yeah.
And that's okay. I'm used to that. I can deal with that. But the problem is whether or not I can get back to sleep after
that's
they wake
usually
me
what
up.
Happens. If I, like, a lot of times when I have to wake up to pee,
mm-hmm.
I'll go back right back to sleep.
Right, right. And that's not a big deal.
Yeah, but if something jarred me out of sleep for what, either
right.
something in a dream... Or in the cat knocks something over,
right.
or I snore myself awake.
Yeah.
You know,
different.
Yeah.
I did get some sleep last night, and when I did, I've got like a bunch of just crazy, random, chaotic shit going on. I actually chewed my lip so bad that when I woke up, I had my mouth was filled with blood. So you'd think that would have woken me up, but it
weird thing, yeah.
Yeah. So my lip is all kind of. Funky, but I can't stop fucking with it. What is it about things in your mouth?
I don't know.
Sores or something.
Like, you gotta have a canker sore. Your tongue always has to poke at it.
Yeah,
even
you gotta
though
mess
it
with
hurts.
Them. Yeah, yeah.
And when you were a kid, you had a loose tooth. You always had to waggle it with your tongue.
Right, right. Yeah, something about something in your mouth. You're so super conscious of it because it's like there's no escaping it.
That's
like,
why I've never gotten my tongue pierced.
Oh, yeah.
Because it would drive me nuts, because I'm so aware of my tongue to begin with.
Yeah.
It's
fascinating. I used to do all kinds of, like, tongue ring tricks where I'd, like, you know, fold my tongue forward so I could take the ball and just move it between my lips, and I'd bend it backwards, and I'd, you know, tug on it with my teeth and pull my tongue, and it was just, yeah, I mean, you do all kinds of weird shit with your tongue that you never noticed before.
Yeah, I've had friends that have had the tongue rings or watch
them
play with it when you're just sitting there. And
yeah,
like,
and you don't even think about it sometimes, too.
Right.
I kind of miss my tongue ring, actually. I have thought about getting it re-pierced, but I don't know. I've heard the second time through is, like, really painful. The first time was not a big deal. It just felt kind of weird.
Right.
It was like, okay, there's a needle going through my tongue, and that shouldn't be happening. You know, there's something, it's just, it feels strange, but not excruciating.
Well,
the swelling the next day sucks. That's painful.
Well, considering it's the one thing where you're actually piercing a muscle.
Right, right. And it's, you know, I have heard the second one is excruciating because you're going through scar tissue at that point.
Right.
Which is a totally different thing. But, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to get my nipples re-pierced, but I almost blacked out the first time.
You got them done the first time.
Yeah.
I've got a friend, Kinkerbell,
mm-hmm.
and she's got hers pierced, and mm-hmm. she did them both at the same time. She literally
had
a piercer on either side.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really the only way to get through it, which I actually did one after the other,
Right.
But I truly, my vision narrowed. And I've got a kick-ass pain tolerance.
Right.
But my vision fucking narrowed to this single point of light, and all was black, and I was, like, ready to lose it. I was ready to just pass out. But the girls are sensitive, so.
Right. Oh, yeah. I know.
So, right. Yeah.
Well, I know. Well, Ruka got both of her cartilage. So she has the tops of one ear done.
I'm impressed with that.
And she sat and did both of them at the same time. Yeah. So I was like.
Well, that is painful. I've had that done. You know, mine I've had done probably 3 or 4 times because it kept not healing. It would keep getting infected.
She had some problems with one of them. I think one of them didn't do it straight.
Mm-hmm.
So she had troubles with one of them. But no.
Yeah.
And I'm too much of a pussy to get it done.
Yeah.
I got my ears done. I've got my tats.
Yeah. You're good with that?
Pretty much.
I would love to go and get my feet finished. You know, my idea was to have my feet totally covered.
Right.
Have not been able to work myself up to that.
Oh, you did say, I remember us talking about that when we first met, and you were saying that was the worst.
Yeah.
Out of everything you've gotten tatted, that was the worst place to.
Well, there's one, like, right behind my ankle on the inside that. Okay. When I get my feet done, my skin, like, flushes immediately.
Right.
And I start sweating and shaking. It's just a weird adrenaline reaction. But with that one, I was, like, my foot kept trying to jerk away.
Well, that's because,
like,
you're hitting your. Well, because that happened because my ex, mm-hmm. her first tattoo was this really cool. And she actually impressed the lady who was doing the tattoo in the next chair.
Mm-hmm.
The tattoo artist that was doing in the next chair. Because for her first tattoo, it was like this.
Which is about 2 inches.
A four-leaf clover.
Where was it?
On her ankle. And I know.
That's
you're also hitting your Achilles tendon back there.
Well, Achilles
and that's
tendon
where, yeah.
And the skin is so very thin down there.
Yeah.
It's basically skin over bones and tendon. I mean,
yeah.
There's not fat to really cushion anything. Yeah. I want to get them done so bad, but I just can't make myself go do it.
Yeah, I know when I got the Star Trek Star Wars one I have on my chest done.
Mm-hmm.
It was so odd because it would be like pure, you know, be doing it up here,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden I'm feeling it in my nipple. It's nowhere,
yeah.
the needle's nowhere near my nipple,
yeah.
but I'm feeling it.
You've got that nerve bundle
kind
of moving through, yeah. That's kind of weird. I am, you know, when I got the one on the top of my back, kind of like below my neck,
yeah.
I was feeling it in my lower back. I was getting like all these weird little twitches.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it happens.
Well, that was just because of the nerve. Yeah,
the
body's strange that way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my body's strange anyways. My body's just odd and strange and
especially that one
alarming.
Spot on your back.
Yeah, oh God. Yeah, and Joe, Jesus Christ, the whole last time, Phantom, the whole last time that he was here, he. That's not cute.
Yes, but it's funny. Soon as you told me about it.
I'm sure it's fucking hilarious. Actually, our friend Adam Kara used to do that to me when we were in college. I made the stupid fucking mistake of telling her, and so everywhere we went, she'd touch that spot. It's what it is to have this one spot that just makes me go gooey.
Yes. I don't know if gooey is the correct. It's not a strong enough word.
Yeah.
It's not. That's what I meant. It's
pre-orgasmic,
like,
probably.
Yeah, that's probably
word.
The best,
yeah.
best way to do it, yeah.
And I can just be walking along, and if you just hit it, like, just the right spot, I, you know, have to stop and roll my eyes and start twitching and freaking out. So, yeah, it's, and it's awesome, you know, in the bedroom. At the mall, not so much. At Frolicon, maybe in some places, but yeah, just in general, just walking along, it's not fucking cute.
Well, when you have goofy friends that when they know stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like on Star Trek, you know, Data had his off switch.
Oh, that's
Can
right.
you imagine if more people knew he had that off switch?
Right.
He'd have, you know, Riker would come up behind him and go,
right. Yeah.
You know, it would be one of those things. Yeah, they'd be at a party and someone would get drunk on Romulan ale and they'd keep turning Data off.
Yeah, that's actually a great segue into the question.
Yeah, go. Yeah, we'll
Whose
do our questions early. Actually, we had two.
Yeah, which that who's that?
The first
from?
One. We'll do the first one on Twitter.
Oh, okay. This is our friend, and again, I have not gotten permission to use his name, so we're just gonna call him DS. Oh, DS.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll call him DS. Hi, DS. How are you?
Although that's his screen name, but then again, he may not want his screen name out.
Second of all, friended him on FetLife. Good-looking dude.
Okay.
Very good-looking. Phantom agreed.
Yeah, but you think I'm good-looking, so I'm not sure about your taste.
No, you are good-looking, and so is he.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay.
Just because it's the kind of person I am.
Yes.
And then I went back and I checked because I was getting kind of flirtatious. I was like, baby, you're okay with this, right? He's like, yeah, I know.
He did, too.
it's more a question of, you know, he knows I'm just flirtatious.
Right.
And his question is, out of all the Star Trek TV shows, God, I should have my glasses on, who's your favorite character and which would you like to have kinky fun time with? And we agreed on one.
The one would be more the kinky fun time, but if you're gonna nail me down to a favorite character, there's two separate people. In other words, I have someone who's my favorite character, and then I have someone I like, but I wouldn't mind having kinky fun time.
See, I've got
with.
Two, and they could really cross over both of them.
Okay.
So.
Well, go ahead. Well, you want to go first?
Okay. Well, my first is Marina Sirtis.
Well, yeah.
Who is stunningly. Just everything about that woman screams sex.
Yes, she will be at Dragon Con.
Oh, she is the modern embodiment of a sex goddess to me. She's curvy, she's beautiful, she's got a gorgeous voice, full lips.
She'd make a good
dreamy eyes.
If they were doing like when they do Wonder Woman, she should be at least one of the Amazons on the island if they go that far back.
I mean, I don't see her as being a warrior type, exactly.
Well, I'm just thinking goddess, you know, the whole, the flowy robes, the whole, you know, the Greek, you know, Greek and Roman look.
That would be right on for her. Yeah, totally. Because she does have, like, a Greek look, and she's British, right?
I think she actually may be, there may be Greek in there.
Okay. Syracuse is obviously Greek.
I'd have to, so I think she may be of Greek descent, but, of British birth.
Yeah, I want to say she's got like a weird Cockney accent that you don't expect from her.
Yeah.
But yeah, she is just stunningly beautiful.
Well, that's like listening to Hugh Laurie if all you've seen him is House, and then you hear him speak his real accent.
What?
Yeah.
Or who is it? Somebody. There's somebody who's Australian. It always freaks me out. Like I've found out like three different times that this person's Australian. I'm like, wait, what? Because it freaks me out every time.
I can tell you the one that got me, first time I did it, is when I started watching Battlestar Galactica. The guy that plays Apollo. I can't remember what his real name is.
Okay.
But the actor who plays Apollo on the remake of Battlestar Galactica, you know, the sci-fi version of it, has like a thick English accent.
Huh.
He's like, he's got more of an accent than the guy who played Baltar, who was speaking in his regular accent.
Okay. I'm trying to think of who that is now. I'll figure it out. I'll go look it up.
But,
it's always weird when that happens.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay.
Wait, that's not your real voice?
Right. No. It's so disillusioning.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not right.
Although, if you really want real disillusionment, everybody knows House. Go find Blackadder 4 because he plays King George's son in that. It basically, Rowan Atkins is his manservant, and that's Hugh Laurie, yes.
And when I saw him, I was like, where do I know him from? And that's it.
Yeah.
Shit, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's so funny.
Yeah, I love Blackadder.
And him and Stephen Fry used to have a show on Britain.
What was it?
It's called A Bit of Fry and Laurie.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw that.
And he's actually got some songs on the internet that's kind of funny. He's actually the one where he's singing about being in love with Steffi Graf.
Okay, nice.
Let's talk about the other
that we both agreed on.
And
you brought her up, and I was like,
Ensign
me too.
Ensign Row, yeah, Ensign Row.
Yeah, totally. And what is her name? Didn't you know her real name? Because I don't know.
I did. Michelle Forbes, I think, is what her name is.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I'd have to look again, but yeah.
And
going to be at Dragon Con.
Yeah. And I loved her as Ensign Row. She's an intriguing character, first of all, but just obviously so hot.
Yeah, the only bad thing is the actress fucked up. She was originally supposed to be on Deep Space Nine. It was supposed to be her spinoff. because Ro had gotten fairly popular.
Yeah.
It was originally, she was originally supposed to be part of Deep Space Nine. But the actress fucked up somehow, and so that's when you ended up with...
The redhead.
What was... Nerisse. Kira Nerisse.
Yeah, I can totally visualize her. Although she was great in that part.
Oh, yeah. Well,
not sexy, I wouldn't say.
Oh, I would. Well, to a point, you'd have to see the Mirror Universe her.
Mm-hmm.
They did... Because remember the original Next Generation... original series.
Uh-huh.
It was the episode where there's a transporter accident and Kirk, Uhura, Scotty, and someone else get beamed to an alternate universe.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's...
They meet up with her?
They meet up with... It's basically the United Federation of Planets is more of a conquering thing. Like, the symbol is actually the Earth with a sword through it. And people will, like, murder their superiors on how... And that's how they'll go up in rank.
Reminds me of, like, the Uber Xena fanfic where she's still evil.
Yeah, well...
And she's Xena the Conqueror.
Yeah, well, this was also the episode where the whole thing of having an evil character, an evil double with a goatee came from, because Spock in the Mirror Universe has a goatee.
Oh, nice.
So, Deep Space Nine, then... what they did is they had an episode where something happens, and while they're coming through the wormhole, get shot into that universe again.
Okay.
Where, because of basically Spock has a change of heart in that universe, Earth basically stops being this hard badass thing and ends up getting conquered by the combined forces of the Klingons, the Cardassians, and the Bajorans. So basically the non-humanoid races that are now in charge, where Deep Space Nine is being run by a very sultry, very domineering S&M Kira Nerisse.
Okay, maybe I should look that
up. Yes, look those up, because she becomes basically like dominatrix sex kitten.
Ooh.
In there, yeah.
I need to see that. Although, I gotta say, I hate the word dominatrix. In this instance, it would apply.
Right.
But I hate it when dominant women use that. Because to me, a dominatrix is something you see in TV or in a movie. It's kind of a parody.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, see, I hate it when women use it because it is something that has been kind of cheapened by the image on TV.
But I think it also tends to be more the women who do it... Professionally. It seems to be more of a professional term, too.
Well, and anyone who is serious about being dominated, any submissive man who wants to go, if they know anything about the lifestyle at all, they would see dominatrix and kind of laugh about it. You know what I mean? But they would be like, I want to see a dom or a ma'am or a mistress or, you know, any of the other names. Domina also works. But dominatrix is kind of just like a parody. It's just like a cheapened version.
Oh, yeah.
To me. That's my little...
You need to see... They had a castle episode where they find a girl who's been murdered, and you come to find she was doing her PhD thesis on the S&M world. They end up going to this club that she was watching.
Mm-hmm.
I
do remember that. I think I saw that one.
And that was where
it had one of the first ones, right?
No, this was this season.
Oh, okay. Maybe I haven't.
And it had... Oh, I wish I could remember her. The woman who played Barbara Gordon in the Birds of Prey TV show that didn't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
She was also in Starship Troopers. She did a stint on 90210. But her and her dominatrix outfit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like long red hair, skin tight. Like leather outfit and like. Oh.
Now I've said it before and I'll say it again. Legend of the Seeker, the Mord Sith, are nothing but a bunch of dogs.
I've seen them.
Oh, fucking hot. Yeah, just basically a legion of doms.
Well, they've got another one where the thought she was hot to begin with, but she played the Madam of the House in the Firefly episode Heart of Gold. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's one of the ones.
Well, I've seen them all, but I don't remember them all.
The Inara gets a phone call from a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Whose house is basically, one of the girls is pregnant, and the guy who's like mm-hmm. the land baron is...
Yeah, I totally remember the episode now, but I'm not remembering her so much.
She's the one Mal has sex with.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of the hottest TV sex scenes ever.
Going to go back and watch that. I do have those on DVD. Right. I swear I do have that much geek cred as far as having Firefly and Serenity on DVD.
She has a semi-returning character on CSI
mm-hmm.
as a mistress. I mean, mm-hmm. as a madam of a dominatrix house.
Mm, okay.
That Grisham
mm-hmm.
has... There's been a little...
Something-something?
Something-something between the two of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So, and that's one of the few I've watched, and I just love... Because she's got that sultry kind of, mm-hmm. where are you from? Redheaded, busty, mm-hmm. just...
Nice.
She was also like one of the... She also had a run on... as one of the adults on the OC. I just remember seeing mm-hmm. the commercials and stuff for her. But yeah.
One of my favorite dominant women, though, in film or TV is Lucy Lawless in Eurotrip. and okay, granted, I'll watch Lucy Lawless in anything.
Oh god, that's a great scene.
Yeah, I watched that stupid Angel of Death, which somebody was talking about Lucy Lawless, and I was like, oh well, I'll just go download that. Somebody on Twitter. And hideous movie. Terrible fucking movie. Just right. so bad. But Lucy Lawless is in it. By God, I watched it.
God.
But yeah, her in that outfit where she gives him a safe word that's like this folded up piece of paper.
It's about an inch long.
Longer.
Oh, yeah.
Like this huge German safe word that, you know, nobody can pronounce. And he's like, yeah, I don't need it. And he's just playing it off. And then she comes after him with like the, is it like a power drill with like three spinning dildos?
Those, yes, yes. No, wait, that's when he said, are you sure you said that?
Yeah.
That's,
are you sure?
Are you yeah, sure? That's I, what yeah, she, yeah, pulled, yeah, totally she pulls out. Yeah.
I freaking love that scene.
Actually, my favorite, although that's a hilarious scene, I love that movie, especially because mm-hmm. of that same montage of scenes when the guy with the is getting blown and gets robbed.
Oh, no, I don't remember that. I don't remember that part. I remember that and where the two kids are eating the brownies, and they're all like dancing on the tables and everything.
Yeah, there's no sugar. There's no pot in their mind.
Yeah, and they're totally mortified.
Get off the table, white boy.
Exactly.
You know, put your shirt back on, white boy.
Yeah, I love that.
But no, during the same scene as he goes to get his kid, the nerdy twin,
because
mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. what's her face from Buffy,
right?
And she had a twin brother.
Yeah.
Well, he's gone to go get the camera cleaned or something.
Uh-huh.
And ends up hitting it off with this really hot, like, punky-looking girl.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the back alley, and she's blowing him. Mm-hmm. Well, while she's blowing him, a guy comes up who's actually the guy from Drew Carey Show, Oswald.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay,
the real dumb one.
Yeah.
Comes up and is robbing him.
And he just hands it over.
He didn't even need the knife. Nice. He just takes off that pack and hands it to him.
Yeah, nice.
That's why they're broke.
That's a great movie.
That's why they're broke.
Okay, I didn't even catch that.
Because he was carrying all their money and their passports and stuff.
I was just busy looking for any bit of Lucy Lawless that I could see. I gotta be honest. That's the whole reason I watched that movie, but then I surprisingly found out that I really liked that movie.
Oh, then you need to go legally acquire Spartacus Bloods and Sands because
to legally acquire that. I can actually legally acquire it. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
But I just keep forgetting it's there.
She's lots of naked in it.
Maybe that's what I'll work on tonight after I finish that project, that side project I was showing.
Right.
And
finally getting episode 28 up.
Yeah, Podbean is being a bitch.
Okay, but my favorite character to get back to our thing.
Right.
Not the naughty funny time, because we've done that within some mm-hmm. row. My favorite character has been... you've got a special place for the Holy Trilogy, mm-hmm. Trinity of Kirk, Spock, and McCoy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
Jean-Luc Picard is also intriguing.
Yes, yeah. But there's always the Holy Trinity.
Right, right.
It's kind of like in DC, you have Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Right. They're the whole...
Right.
But my favorite's always been Benjamin Sisko. He was the captain of Deep Space Nine.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's mainly because Deep Space Nine was so much different than the other ones, because with original series and Next Generation, it's all clean. Mm-hmm. It was all, this is the Federation.
This is gritty, like
this
a
was
city.
Gritty, yeah. You know, gritty
habitation.
You know, edge of the universe, not edge of the universe, but edge of the galaxy.
Right.
You know, you never know what kind of person's going to come through. Mm-hmm. You know, basically having to deal with being at the edge of your seat because.
And it's funny because I never got into the show.
But this is what cemented me.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first episode where they brought Q in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I don't know about Enterprise, but I know every...
I'm sure he showed up, yeah.
Next Generation.
And in fact, I think I remember a couple Enterprises where he was there.
Well, it's the first one he comes in, and all of a sudden, Q has switched, and they're in, like, turn-of-the-century boxing gear.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, doing all this, and he's just messing... And Sisko pops him, knocks him down, and Q's stunned and is laying there. He goes... Picard never hit me. And he just leans out and goes, I'm not Picard.
Excellent.
And so I was so happy when they let him shave his head again. Because first season he had a growth of hair. Mm-hmm. But he was also Hawk in Spencer for Hire. If you remember the show Spencer for Hire.
I never really watched that, so.
But he was Spencer's badass black friend that would help him out with the sunglasses. So when they let him when he came back season two with his shaved head, it was like, okay, there we go.
Yeah, there he is.
Now
there
all he is. Yeah, all is right with the world now.
Yeah, yeah. Some people just need shaved heads.
Yeah.
We've discussed that before. You look better with a shaved head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was always my favorite captain because he was dealing with so much shit and didn't have a problem getting down and dirty if he needed to.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting point. That makes me want to go back and watch. I never really got into that. I watched some of the Enterprise and all of the Next Generation because I was like, this is the best show
ever. Well, yeah, I watched Next Generation, but I always kind of liked Deep Space Nine a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I did like, you know, Next Generation, but...
Yeah.
Because it was different. It wasn't, you know, it was a different setting. It was a different idea to where, yes, the Federation is nice and shiny and clean, but the rest of the universe is still kind of fucked up.
See, when the Next Generation went into syndication, I had a friend who would come over every single day and we'd watch it.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know why I didn't get into Deep Space Nine. I don't know if it was like a time thing or... You know, and again, I've never been a huge TV person. There's never a show that I can follow for more than a season and a half anyways. So yeah, I need to go back and check those out. And, you know, of course I liked, Captain Janeway. I mean, she just kicks ass. And a lot of people hated her, but...
It was okay.
I just like a badass woman. That's part of me, you know?
Yeah.
So, but my favorite character would be Marina Sirtis. Happy, fun time, probably, Ensign Row. So, although she was an intriguing character as well.
Well, yeah.
And I would definitely want to have happy, fun time with Marina Sirtis.
So. Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
All right, so that was a big, long answer to one question.
One question, yeah. But again, we went on our wonderful tangent, so it makes it even better. Yeah,
thank you, DS, for that. And I want to see the pictures of those canes when you're done with us. He's making canes.
Yes, I'm following him, too. Well, we're following him with King of the Geeks, so I know that he's making the canes, yeah.
Yeah. I was just mentioning.
Okay.
I can mention. It's my podcast. Chill. Just relax. Relax. Okay, we got a question. And this is someone that we've never heard from before.
Oh.
And he does Instant Leftovers podcast. And this is Scott
White. Oh, yeah. This one's yours, so go ahead, yeah.
And his question is, hello, how are you? I am fine. Can I get a ride to the store? I need some stuff. Do you need anything from inside? Just asking. And my answer is, I'm not taking you to the grown-up store again because you've already bought 10 butt plugs this month. And how many more fucking butt plugs do you need? And that's my answer.
Okay.
I adore Scott. He's a really cool guy. I've actually had a chance to chat with him once or twice, but never had a chance to, like, really sit down and talk.
Right.
kind of in the middle of something, but he's a cool guy.
Oh, yeah. He seems like a cool guy. They talked to him on Chuck vs. Mal.
Yeah.
A good bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's on Instant Leftovers, which I've kind of heard, but again, it's not anything against his podcast. It's...
You don't have real time.
I don't have any time, yeah. But I do want to go and listen to a couple episodes of that, because he's just a funny person.
Yeah.
His tweets are hilarious and excellent.
But he's the one that makes up the ringtones from the
that's right, get the Lady Dinden.
Oh, did you? He hadn't sent me...
Well, I downloaded it. I haven't had a chance to put it on the
phone. Oh, I didn't know yet. If there was a place to go and get it. I didn't know.
Yeah, he actually... did he send it via, like, MediaFire or... Yeah, something like that.
Okay, you'll have to show me.
But it was
me,
a drop. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll see if I can find it. It's in my DMs somewhere.
Okay.
And then Aston.
Yes, Aston. Yay. Yeah, the last of our tweet questions. Yes. Yay.
If you had a few of those water balloons filled with semen, who would you throw them to and why? Second part of the question, P.S. do you want to buy some water balloons filled with semen? They are cheap, but they are human semen.
Now, the thing is if you're getting a good water balloon size thing, that's a lot of fucking semen.
Well, and my question back would be, do you really think I have trouble getting my own water balloons filled with semen?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. Yeah. It's not hard to get guys to, you know, volunteer to come for you. It's just not difficult. Who would I throw them to and why?
I think you may throw them at.
It'd be kind of fun. They'd feel kind of cool, actually, because it wouldn't be like a water balloon. That'd be kind of, it'd be like a little bit more solid.
I think it'd be a little more interesting because it might not break.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you got to get it taut.
Right.
I would think it'd be interesting to like have some in there, but then fill the rest up with water. Mm-hmm. So it will bust, but they're getting hit with the semen, too.
Oh, but then if you get it in your eyes, then you get the cum eye. The old cum eye.
You've probably never had
that unless you had it on your hands and rubbed your eye.
Well,
I myself had an eye infection for like 3 or 4 days after a particular incident. who would I throw it at? Actually, it'd be fun as part of a scene.
Yeah, I can see knowing the boys you work with. Yeah,
yeah, weird bukkake.
The way the boys you tend to play with. Yeah,
I'd throw it at a sub in a scene,
especially doing it with someone in chastity.
Oh yeah. Oh, obviously, yeah, that'd be hot. Actually, I have a whole new scene. Hey, baby, can't wait to see you next time. I got plans.
Run!
Bill's filling up some balloons now.
No, I'm not. That's not mine. I got nothing to do with this.
Oh, God. Yeah, that would be fun, actually. Well, that would be a great Frolic-On game.
No.
Yeah, like humiliating, like for sissies or something.
Yeah, you would have to get someone who's into it, because it's not like... I would hate to see just random people getting hit with cum-filled water balloons.
Like a circle of sissies throwing the balloon back and forth to see who gets drenched.
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah, but then again, you would have to do the whole water with some in it.
Yeah.
Because you got to have it taut enough to where it would explode.
See, he always gives us the best questions.
Yeah.
Thought-provoking.
See, you do it out of seed. Mine would have been done out of anger.
Right, right.
Because there's a certain group of people that come in to work, too.
Mm-hmm.
That I would especially like to hit with these, and these are our, you know, where I work, basically, there are ways around to where you can work the system to where you don't pay much for what you buy.
As far as, like, the coupons
and stuff like that, yeah. And we've got groups of people... Usually foreign descent. I mean, there are our Caucasian friends.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'll know who they are because they're the ones who will be coming in the store clutching we'll be clutching the flyer, the week flyer in their hand. And then usually we'll have it.
You know, in all honesty, though, the people who are really taking that much time are probably pretty fucking broke.
No.
No?
No.
Huh.
They're cheap.
Okay.
But the ones that get me the most, and this just happened to come up Sunday, had this one lady come in, and because what they'll do is they'll buy nothing but things that print out the special coupons, And they get mad if they happen to buy something that doesn't print out that special coupon, no matter how much they paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
This particular lady had something, I forgot how much it started off, but she ended, her entire total came to like a buck and change, and mm-hmm. that's including the tax.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because one item didn't spit out the special coupon,
mm-hmm.
she wanted to return it.
That's bullshit.
Yes.
That's total bullshit.
And, well, luckily now what they're doing is they're starting to put them on gift cards.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of stores now to where if you try to return something without a receipt,
mm-hmm.
you don't get cash or whatever back. They'll mm-hmm. put it in store credit.
Right.
So they're putting it towards store credit.
Right.
That even though it would be full price for whatever it is. Because mm-hmm. I had, oh my God, I had one particular guy come in. His total started, began... at somewhere in like the mid 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept peeling off coupon after coupon. In fact, mm-hmm. he's probably one of the reasons why the company had to change the policy on using a certain the get $4 off of a $20 or more order
mm-hmm.
to where you can only use one of those per
mm-hmm.
transaction because you would have someone who would have like so much off of a $75 order
mm-hmm.
and then when you got under $75 would put out one for so much mm-hmm. off of $50 and just keep peeling them off to the point where this guy was like having his entire order came to $3.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But one of the items he wanted was this digital camera
mm-hmm.
that was supposed to be $20 plus you get the you get like a $10 special coupon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for some reason it didn't ring up that sale. It rang up the sale that was going to be the next week, which meant he paid $14.99 for it, or mm-hmm. that's how much it rang up for.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't get the special coupon.
Mm-hmm.
But his entire order went from $80 to $3,
mm-hmm.
and still wanted to return it. And my manager gave him back the $14.99 mm-hmm. that he did not pay for it.
I had somebody. Yeah, and that used to piss me off when managers would come and just totally undermine you.
Because mm-hmm.
I used to work in retail at one of the places that you did. And you'd be like, listen, we really can't take this back by our policy and everything. They'd be like, get your manager. And the manager, oh, yeah, of course we can do this. Here, you know, this is how you do this. And I'm like, no, I know how you do it, but we're not supposed to do it.
Right.
It used to drive me apeshit.
No, the manager's at job one. My
yeah.
man, especially my store manager, because the way the store, you know, the way the place you used to work at, you had manager, merchandising manager, and then, or general manager, merchandising mm-hmm. manager, operations manager.
Yeah.
Our general manager, oh, she'll fight tooth and nail with some of these people,
because oh, really?
She knows damn well these people are
See,
trying to get away.
I always had the managers that would never fight with anyone. They'd bend over and just let them
They're not fight,
dry.
Fight, but she definitely will. She'll hold her own.
Well, and that's good. You should.
Because the worst I ever
try to get away with some crazy shit.
I may have talked about this on the podcast before, but I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But we had this one thing. It was a table,
mm-hmm.
about like this nice end table.
Okay.
With a drawer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was an $80 piece of furniture, tagged on the bottom of the thing, so it was there. It was
right.
already tagged. Okay.
Right.
This was not an item missing a tag.
Right.
Well, somehow in the drawer was a hard ticket, which is what usually is on the clothing.
Right, the paper.
The paper one, yeah.
Instead of
it wasn't a sticker, yeah.
Yeah.
Was in the drawer for a boy's, I want to say, sleepwear item.
Uh-huh. And it says on the tags, it said boy's sleepwear.
Well, it had the department number. Yeah, it had the department number, and it was $12.
Yeah.
On a clearance. How it got in the drawer, I'm thinking some little kid, you know how kids are when they're playing,
yeah,
will pick something up and they'll go in and they'll, oh, drawer, put something in, shut the drawer.
Yeah.
You know, kids
or
do that.
Or she went and pulled it off of something and stuck it in there.
There
so
too.
She could be a bitch. Yeah.
She bitched. She wanted it for the price on the tag that was in the drawer, even though it's clearly priced.
Right.
The sticker was there, and it wasn't like half sticker, it wasn't like anything. It was a full blown sticker in the middle where it came in. Even the store manager mm-hmm. was, no, ma'am, this isn't even the same ticket. This isn't even the same department.
Right. Sorry. So sorry for the confusion,
but no,
you're not getting it for $12.99.
She called corporate, and corporate told them to give it to her.
That's such bullshit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that drives me apeshit.
That was the main reason I fought for the longest time not to be trained on services. Now, the way our stores are set up, everyone is service desk because it went from lanes and then a separate service desk area to a single queue store. Yeah. Basically what it is.
Yeah. Well, see, I was one of the people who had the key to all the registers and would go and give people money, and I forget what it was called.
Service desk. That was probably a service desk person, yeah.
But yeah, so I always got the assholes. You know, I always got them, and I was like, I'm just trying to go by policy here. Like, give me a fucking break. And then my manager would come and be like, oh, no, we can totally, you know, because they want to be the good guy.
Right.
I'm like, fucking back me up on this.
Yeah.
For real. Which I actually had a guy yesterday who was pissed off. California requires that we charge sales tax.
Yeah, you have told me about this particular thing, which is so stupid.
Oh, it's stupid. Yeah. I agree. But it was a free phone, or it was a penny phone. But the sales tax was $9.43.
Oh, well, it's really isn't that bad.
He's getting a $250 phone for $9.43.
Right, yeah. So, I mean,
get the fuck over it, right? And he didn't place the order. He just wanted to make a point of it, and he wanted me to pass it along to all my managers. And I'm like, well, first of all, I can't. There's not really a system for me to do that. But okay, you know, whatever. And he was just being a whiny little punk-ass bitch. And if I could have launched myself through the screen to smack him, because he gave me so much shit about it. He's like, well, you need to check around and see what you can do. I was like, there's no way physically, there isn't a button that I can press to make that go away.
Right, because you live in that state.
You know?
I mean, you see that all the time. Yeah. Like, even if you're buying anything on the internet, depending on where you go, they'll show the states of where they're going to have to charge you. Mm-hmm. Tax on that state.
Yeah.
So you're going to get charged that no matter...
Well, and they don't understand. I can't go in and I can't change their order. I can't waive activation. There is no way for me physically to go in and and take that out. It just...
I don't
have that capability.
You can't buy the phone. If you're going through companies like that, you can't buy the phone itself.
Right.
Because there is not the phone they're technically selling. Right. It's the service.
And people don't understand that. Like, you know, we'll say... Okay, there's a very popular phone. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't necessarily want to say exactly who I work for, but very popular phone that is discounted $400 over retail, and people want to know what kind of sales there are. There aren't any sales. It's discounted $400 over retail because we make our money back on the contract.
Right.
On the 2 years of service, right? And people are always trying to finagle some way to get this phone. And, they want to buy it and start a new line of service and then cancel it and then use it for their upgrade because they're not ready for an upgrade. And I'm like, no, because then you'll have two lines of service. Dumbass. You know, but they're always trying to work something out.
Right.
And, yeah, it's just really fucking annoying.
The only way you're going to be able to get the phone itself without having to deal with that is if you go through the company that makes the phone. But even then, because I know when I was looking at the iPhone, I went to the Apple site.
Right.
And they do not sell the iPhone by itself.
They can.
Okay. Well, can. From what I've seen, but they say you have to go through the whole AT&T thing.
The company can sell it, or the phone company can actually sell it at the stores, just not through the website. You can actually go to my company's store and buy the phone at full retail price. $400 more.
Right.
You know, if you really fucking want to. I don't understand why people do. But yeah,
it's the whole breaking it. And
then they want to take that phone, that really nice expensive phone with all the features and all the nice things about it, and use it on a fucking prepaid plan.
Right.
And they don't want to hear, there's like no way you can tell them that you can't use that phone on a prepaid plan.
Well, no matter what company you go with, when you start dealing with smartphones, you're automatically having to get data plans.
Right,
There is no...
It's just the way it is. If you don't want that data plan, why the fuck do you need a smartphone?
Right.
Why?
Because I noticed that when I was shopping around, because when I was shopping around before I got the iPhone, I was looking at... The G1.
Right.
I was looking at the Palm Pre, and I was looking at the iPhone, and AT&T, Sprint, and Verizon, and T-Mobile. And on top of this,
you don't need the data plan. You don't need a smartphone.
Phone,
because
you're
not going to be using any of the smartphone capabilities. It's stupid to have one unless you just need to fucking look cool, in which case you need to go spend that money on, you know...
Therapy.
Getting a fucking clue about life. Yeah, okay, I have a little bit of an issue with that, apparently. I got really bitter there,
didn't Yeah. Well, the nature of your job. Yeah.
Why don't we not talk about phone service? Wasn't I just bitching about another podcast where they were bitching about
phone service? Phone service, yes.
I was like, I just can't get into that one. They were just sitting out bitching about phone service.
Hey, here we are bitching about phone service. Well, we're bitching about people who are trying to get around phone service.
Or trying to finagle
something. Yeah, so that's a little different. Well, I actually got an email.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
On my actual email site. Yay!
And it's from somebody that you like.
Oh, yes. The lovely Jasmine.
Yay.
Now, I'm not going to go through the whole email.
Right.
But her question, because she does throw me the geeky questions, was of the Star Wars and Star Trek movies, which of the movies would you recommend to someone who hasn't seen them? Mm-hmm. Or do you have, or would you suggest a different...
Other
sci-fi, space-based sci-fi movie. Well, I'm going to kind of take this apart, take them as two separate questions.
Okay.
Well, when it comes to Star Wars and Star Trek, Star Wars is too linear of a story that you can't really go...
Take one movie.
Yeah. So you have to start with Episode 4, A New Hope.
Right.
Because it's not... Empire's the better movie.
Mm-hmm.
But
it does. It's not going to make a lot of sense.
It's not going to make a lot of sense if you don't see Star Wars. So, you have to watch those three. Those are it's a trilogy. It is a full blown trilogy. A true trilogy.
Yeah.
When it comes to Star Trek, when it comes to the movies, especially when you're dealing with the original cast, if you know the history of the original show enough, I would start with Star Trek 2.
Okay.
Star Trek, I love I do love movies when Star Trek, the motion picture, or as some of the Trekkies call it, the motion sickness.
Oh, nice.
A lot of shots of the exterior of the Enterprise.
Okay.
Originally, that wasn't supposed to be a movie.
Okay.
That was supposed to be a 2-hour pilot for the new Star Trek movie, a show.
Oh, interesting.
Back in the early mid-70s, I want to say, they were in the plans to start up Star Trek, the TV show.
Okay.
Where they were going to have...
They're just
going to
kind of continue with the same characters and everything?
Yeah. But they were going to have some new ones. Nimoy was not coming back. So they were replacing the science officer with a full-blown Vulcan.
Okay.
And you were going to have, I can't remember the name of the character, but the bald chick that shows up in the motion picture.
See, I've seen him, but it's been so long. I'm not the Trekkie.
Well, she was going to be, and also Decker, who was supposed to be the captain of the new refitted Enterprise.
Okay.
Was going to be. And it was going to be the first true first officer where he was just an XO and not also like Spock was, where he was science officer and XO. He was going to be more like Riker, where he was just strictly, an XO.
Right.
The second in command.
Mm-hmm.
But then this little thing called Star Trek showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had at least 2.5 seasons outlined.
Okay.
With several of them being fully blown shows. In fact, Episode 2 of Star Trek Next Generation would have been the first would have been the first 1-hour episode of the Star Trek the TV show that never
Oh, so the script was the same.
The script was the same where it's just the one where Troy gets impregnated and ends up, no one knows, basically this thing of light comes and impregnates her, and she has a kid, and it's, grows, well, that would have been the Aaliyah character from...
Okay.
So they did change up some things. That's why they had to rechange to where Spock would come back.
Mm-hmm.
The scene where they have the transporter accident, where they have two people get killed by being transported.
Right.
That was, one of those was the Vulcan character...
Okay.
That would have taken Spock's place.
Okay.
They were going to do it. Everybody except for like Nimoy and someone else wasn't going to be back, but it was going to be the further adventures of the original show's crew.
Okay.
But because Star Wars came out, they decided to do the whole to make it a movie instead, mm-hmm. to capitalize on the popularity of what happened with Star Wars. So, I would go. I wouldn't technically really skip one. I may come back and see it, mm-hmm. but I would see 2, 3, and 4. The even ones of the Star Trek seem to be the strongest ones. Star Trek 2, Star Trek what 4, Star Wrath Trek 6. Khan? Because Star Trek 2.
That was 2?
That was Star Trek 2, yes.
Okay, because that's Wrath of Khan, my friend M, who listens to our show sporadically, that's what his all-time favorite movie, I think.
Right. So, I would maybe go and find the episode. I can't remember off the top of my head right now what the name of the episode was.
Uh-huh.
But there, it was spawned from an episode of the original show.
Okay.
Watch that episode, then watch 2.
Okay.
And I would say just watch 2, 4, and 6, but you kind of have to watch 3
mm-hmm.
to go, because what happens at the end of 2...
See, and...
gets explained why he's back in 4.
Mm-hmm.
You have to watch 3, so you're not just going from 2 to 4 and going, wait a minute.
What the hell?
See,
I would sit down and watch them all first. I can't just pick.
She asked. I mean, yeah, watching all of them through, although, honestly, I'd steer away from 5.
Oh, really?
Ugh.
Not a winner?
Let's put it this way. Shatner was the director.
Oh, awesome.
That's where the mountain scene. Why is Captain Kirk climbing a mountain?
I love that one. What is it? Because he loves the
mountain. The mountain, yes. That's where they got
the mountain
it from.
Loves him,
because.
The mountain. Yeah.
To embrace that mountain. Yes, that mountain. Go find Fall on Your Sword.
Yeah.
And watch the Captain Kirk.
Fucking funny.
Captain Kirk is climbing a mountain. Why is he climbing a mountain?
Yeah.
That's from the special features of Star Trek V, because the first time you see Kirk, he's rock climbing.
Okay. Awesome.
That
makes me want to go watch it. Yeah, just for full-on entertainment cheese.
Okay, if you're going to do it that way. But it's not. It is definitely the weakest of all the Star Treks.
I'll have low expectations about the seriousness of the movie. Okay.
The fact that they blew so much money paying Spock, Kirk, and McCoy's salary that they were actually rehashing. They didn't have enough money to pay ILM.
Uh-huh.
Industrial Lights and Magic.
Oh, wow.
So they were having to, go to another house, and they were having to rehash.
Uh-huh.
Special effects.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So, yeah.
That sounds fun.
The second part,
mm-hmm.
I do have, outside the Star Trek, Star Wars, that I think first-timers would probably get a kick out of
mm-hmm.
seeing. What's funny is they're all except for one, are old.
Mm-hmm.
First one, for true science fiction, although it's not a space one,
mm-hmm.
Although it does deal with space people, District 9. If you haven't heard District 9, it is such a pure science fiction movie.
Yeah, I'm grabbing my phone so I can make notes while you're talking.
Okay.
I want to see these.
District 9 is actually, I think it's got to be one of the strongest science fiction movies I've seen in years.
Okay.
Not to mention the CG with the prawns is amazing.
With the prawns.
That's what they call the aliens. Because they kind of look like shrimp.
Shrimpy?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're very shrimpy looking like. So they're the prawns. Okay.
Okay.
Well, first of the three here is the 1956 classic Forbidden Planet.
Okay, right.
This was the movie that introduced the world to Robbie the Robot.
Oh.
This also.
I know I've seen it. It's
this also
crazy.
Stars a very serious Leslie Nielsen. Back when Leslie Nielsen was the
serious
heavy
actor. Right.
Yeah, because Leslie Nielsen was not the comedic genius that we've known him from Airplane.
What? You just called him what?
Airplane.
Airplane's fun.
The original Police Squad show.
Yeah.
Oh, come.
Oh, he's just goofy.
I'm sorry.
And he's just goofy, and he just kept capitalizing on the goofy and making the goofy
stupid. Later on, some of the stuff he's done
is... It was just so fucking blatant and obvious. I hate it. I hate Leslie Nielsen.
I'm serious, and don't call me Shirley. Sorry.
Yeah,
Leslie Nielsen's hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, this movie is actually rather interesting because it holds up so well. Because I remember coming across it, and the effects, even though they're 1950s effects, work for what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
And the story is loosely based on The Tempest by William Shakespeare.
Okay.
It's just really, it's a really good, solid science fiction movie.
Okay, nice.
Even for the 50s, the effects are spectacular.
Okay, cool.
Next one is again, not a space one, but very... It's H.G. Wells, it's science fiction. Uh-huh. The Time Machine.
Yep.
And it's the 1960s Rod Taylor, which was like the height of like the stop motion...
Uh-huh.
You know, especially when he first gets into the time machine and everything around him is changing, where you see the shop window, where the style of dresses keep changing and stuff like that. And just another one before its time. It's the most iconic of all the time machines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Big Bang Theory a couple of years ago.
Oh, it
had an
out.
Episode where Sheldon was not Sheldon. It's the guy from Roseanne. That was
okay,
originally
the curly haired
guy. He's bidding on what he thinks is a miniature version of it, and it turns out to be the full blown prop.
Oh,
the
nice!
Full scale size time machine.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So,
I need to watch that show too.
And then there's one scene where they've decided they need to, because they're fighting over it, who's going to, because they all chipped in to get it.
Uh-huh.
Where Sheldon's having a dream where they're coming to get it, and the moving men are Morlocks.
Nice.
Because he had a Morlock dream beforehand,
uh-huh.
But then it's the end when they're running the credits and they're showing it, but he's having a dream where the Morlocks come in and they're in the movie. They're in the moving, they're in like mover overalls, but it's Morlocks.
Okay, nice.
So, and it's just a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then my third one is actually the one I remember this because it came out at the same time as Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think they were both in the theater at the same time.
Okay.
It's Disney's The Black Hole.
Okay. Yeah, and I know I've seen that one too, but, you know.
And it's loaded with stars. It's like, you know, Ernest Borgnine, Anthony Perkins, who was, of course, Norman Bates, and Maximilian Schell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, and it's dark.
Okay.
Well, see, the story is you have a research ship, the Palomino, which is where Borgnine and Perkins and the very yummy Yvonne Menenex, I think is what she's also the hot chick from the Time Machine.
Okay.
Ends up falling in, that H.G. Wells' character ends up falling, although his name is H. George Wells in the movie.
Nice.
But they're part of a research ship, basically flying around looking for signs of life in the universe.
Okay.
Well, on their way back, it's like an 18-month... They're at the end of an 18-months long mission, and they come across a black hole.
Okay.
With a ship sitting on the event horizon, not moving.
Uh-huh.
Just... You know, it should be, you know, being sucked in. Yeah, and it's not moving.
Uh-huh.
And you find out that it's a long-lost research ship called the Cygnus.
Okay.
That Yvonne's father was part of the team. And you find out there's just not something, there's something not right about what's on the ship.
Uh-huh.
And for a Disney movie, it's kind of heavy.
Okay.
Especially considering when you find out what happens, what the truth behind what happens to the crew, and a very gruesome death of one of the, but then again, if you think about it, Disney up until recently had some really dark stuff.
What was that one? There was one I used to watch as a kid all the time with Katharine Hepburn, and it was Whispers in the Wind in the Woods or Watchers in the Woods.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty intense.
Well, look at
that's a good movie too.
I mean, if you really look back at it, Snow White, very intense movie at times for kids, especially for kids.
Well, the story that it sprang from was really intense, and it actually came from an earlier pagan myth.
Right.
Where Snow White was a representation of the goddess. It was kind of like a way that the triple goddess came through. you know, skin white as snow, lips red as apples or something. Black hair is hair black as something. But that's kind of a representation of the goddess. There's a lot of goddess imagery.
Right.
And also, you know, the crone.
The crone, right.
You know, there's like a lot of stuff that shows up. So it's kind of, it's an intense story that comes from an intense
an old Yeller, a Disney movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you got the two mothers biting it in Dumbo and
Bambi. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Disney was...
It's not always been cutesy.
No.
Yeah.
Disney really didn't pull too many punches. I mean, the last time you saw them do something that deep and dark was, I think, Lion King.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, those are lessons that, you know, I think kids are sometimes better off getting little tastes of.
Well, I know, and I think that was, I think that's what we've missed. I think that's something we're missing nowadays.
Well, like, her parents would never let her watch any horror movies. Like, until she was, like, you know, out of high school, she couldn't watch any horror movies. I mean, she was just so sheltered. And she really has very few, you know, I mean, it's a stretch, but that's just a symptom of how sheltered she was. And she very few life coping skills.
Well, I think the biggest one was just recently with Where the Wild Things Are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a little bit of a dark book. It gets scary towards the end.
Oh, yeah.
They actually rewrote the movie because they shot it the way the book is shot, mm-hmm. or is written, and it scared kids, so they changed it.
It's supposed to be a little scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's something. But yeah, I haven't seen, like I was, again, I haven't seen a lot of these in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But these have been my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if not just favorites on like a cheesy level, like say, I like Death Race 2000 or Flash Gordon, the 80s version of Flash Gordon. Yeah.
Or these are my deep abiding love of Barbarella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're decent. These are decent movies. I think they're really, I mean, some people may go Black Hole, but mm-hmm. it was a really good story. I mean, especially considering it was a kid's movie.
Well, I'm going to go home and legally acquire all four, actually.
And Time Machine is H.G. Wells. Unless you really piss on his grave, you can't really fuck that up.
Well, and we had talked, too, about the most recent version of the Time Machine done in, what, 2002. It was that long?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, the reason I know is because when I was writing down my notes for the podcast, I found it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the first thing that comes up when you type in Time Machine's 2002.
I liked that version. I liked it a lot.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, I'm not going to say anything yay or nay about it.
Well, it was very, very steampunk. Very, yeah.
Right.
As far as like the machine and the Victorian and but it was really interesting. I
like
that.
Although I did like the fact that when they made the machine, they really did keep the 60s kind of look to it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and when I went and saw First Men in the Moon, which was, you know, an H.G. Wells.
Right.
At the Silver Scream Spook Show, which I know I talk about all the time, but I... love it.
Which is going on again this Saturday, isn't
it? It's going on this Saturday, and they're playing Vincent Price's The Tingler.
I know. Me and Alicia were both like, ooh.
Oh, if you get a chance, come on. Because you can meet
I think we should have a... We probably, if you want us to join, we could probably make it, because we don't have anything planned for Saturday.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I still haven't talked to A. I need to talk to him and see if he wants to
go. Yeah, I would love to go see something like that, because I'm a sucker for a Vincent Price movie.
Oh, and it's just so fun with the burlesque beforehand. Right. It's just so fucking fun.
Ooh, yeah, burlesque. Oh,
I know, right? There's no bad there.
Yeah, because burlesque just rocks. I mean, strip clubs are one thing, but burlesque is just so much better.
Well, and it's usually like the girls come out for one small musical number, but it's more just kind of a skit show.
Beforehand. Oh, I know.
It's more of the vaudeville kind of...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, you know, everybody, strip club and blah, 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 but mm-hmm. burlesque is such a next level to it. Even.
Well, I liked when they did Beware of the Blob and the nurse's uniforms. It was hot.
You don't happen to know which burlesque troupe does it, do you?
I think it's Blast Off.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's several. I know there's Sirens of the South, and then there's, damn it, it did it again. Etsy's Club, I think. Uh-huh. They do more... That's the one where they had the special needs burlesque girl.
Okay.
And the one where they're doing Lady in Red, and the girl who's doing is just this tall,
mm-hmm.
you know, ballet-looking, mm-hmm. you know, dark hair, and starts taking off her clothes, and there's, like, hair underneath her armpits.
Nice.
hair on her chest.
Awesome.
There's spiders.
Awesome.
I think when she hurt her G-string, there's, like, hair coming out of the G-string, you know.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Well, yeah, this is Blastoff Burlesque. I think they're a little bit more traditional as far as the five girls in skimpy things dancing to a kitschy song. I had a recommendation I just wanted to throw out there real quick.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, my iPhone app is TweetDeck. I can't believe I've never mentioned it.
Yeah. Well, neither have I. You know, why...
I know, that's like the only one that I go to like five times an hour.
Yeah. The only reason I go to the Twitter homepage is if I've got someone that I want to check out before I say, okay.
Yeah.
That's the only time I'll go.
Follow. Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Find out who it is. That's the only time I'll go to Twitter.
Yeah, TweetDeck.
Except for last night because TweetDeck was...
Yeah, it was wonky.
It was wonky last night.
Yeah, it went wonky. And then my second one is somebody to follow on Twitter. He was hilarious. I love his tweets. And I don't follow celebrities. I find that kind of annoying. I don't care what so-and-so ate for breakfast. Like, I couldn't give a fuck.
It depends on who I follow.
Yeah, I mean, they need to show that their tweets are worth reading to me. And this is his Michael J. Nelson.
Yes.
All one word of Riff Trax and MST3K fame.
I've seen some of his retweets, which, and I should follow him.
He's fucking hilarious. Today, his tweet was, tomorrow I'd ask that you celebrate a low-key Earth Day so as not to make wind and fire feel bad.
Oh, I love that tweet. Was you that retweeted it, or
was it
Din? Okay.
Yeah,
I saw that, and I was like, oh, that is too fucking
good.
Funny.
That's classic. But he just comes up with this weird shit, and it just cracks me up. But his other one today was, wife's out of town, party at my place, and then in parentheses, I can't make it. My wife would kill me, but lock up before you're done. Or lock up when you're done.
Oh, I follow a few. I follow Craig Ferguson.
Okay.
But he doesn't seem to tweet. He doesn't tweet, but when he does, it's interesting.
Okay.
And there'll be times when he'll tweet stuff from the show. He sent pictures of the audience before.
Oh, okay.
You know, when he goes out and, I guess, talks to the audience before the show. I follow Felicia Day.
Okay.
She's interesting. She's, again, usually tweets something, and she's not I just ate this, blah, blah, blah. But
I mean, and I tweet boring fucking shit. I know that, but I tweet it to my friends who I know that they like cheese. So I can talk about the cheese I'm doing, and they'll find it interesting. You know what I mean? I don't broadcast it to...
Let's see. I follow Will Wheaton.
Mm-hmm.
The funniest things he'll do is he'll have conversations with his pets and put it on.
Nice.
He'll be like, me, blank, 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 the cat. What do you mean? You know, me, blank, 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 cat. Well, you know, I'm a cat. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay, cool.
It's almost like Will Wheaton does Get Fuzzy.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, excellent.
And I follow Kathy Perry. And she,
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry. I don't know why I keep calling her Kathy.
You would think if you see her name on TweetDeck...
But it's not
four times a day.
I don't think that's her name though.
Okay.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
But she's another interesting one.
Uh-huh.
That she'll throw up interesting things. Like she had pictures from, I guess it was the family Easter thing where she's running around in bunny ears.
Oh, cute.
Yeah.
Okay.
She showed off her blue nails to go with the rubber blue dress and wig that she was wearing at the kids.
Oh, nice.
But her thing was that, oh, you better back off, because I'll scratch a bitch. And she's showing her nice. Blue nails.
Nice.
So, yeah, and I know Alicia follows both Mika Collins, who plays Castiel on Supernatural, and Nathan Fillion, and they're both kind of fucked up in the head. Because they're kind of nutty.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion's he's an
nutty man.
Kind of guy.
Yes,
yeah,
I love seeing him at con. I've seen him twice now, and he is fucking hilarious.
And
I told you the finger story.
Have you
the flip off story?
No.
Okay. And this is why.
Okay, and then we got to wrap it up.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So keep sitting on my nuts.
Oh, awesome.
Well, I'm in the kilt.
Yeah.
Okay. It was the first Dragon Con that we were getting, where Firefly first started taking off.
Okay.
We were getting Nathan Fillion, Jules Strait, who played Kaylee, and Adam Baldwin, who was Jane.
Right.
Well, they had the guy said, hey, I'm so-and-so of Dragon Con. Before they come out, and I guess they weren't behind the wall, because this was in the big ballroom.
Okay.
Is that for those of you who know, there's a flip-off war between Jewel and Nathan. So what we're going to do is when I'll be the first person to ask the question, and when he says, he points to me, I'll go, Nathan, on behalf of Jewel, all of Dragon Con salutes you. And I want all of you to stand up and flip him off. And then so he does that, and then they were passing around a flyer, so they didn't have to say it again. You know, because the room was still filling in when he's doing this.
Nice.
So about 15.
She would win with that, because there were probably a lot of people in that room.
It was the, it was Regency, not Regency, it was Centennial 2 and 3, which is the huge, the huge one in the Hyatt.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's where we went and saw Adam Savage.
That that holds, I think they said 1,200, 1,500.
Yeah.
And that's not including cutting off, basically opening one up.
Right.
I think if you open it completely up, it's a 2,000 room ballroom, which you can fit that many people in there. So we're sitting there. They come out, yay. And immediately, Nathan's got the mic. He's going to be kind of the moderator between the three of them. So, boom. He says, guy gets up, you have 1,500 people, or 1,200 people stand up, flipping him off. Jewel's laughing so hard she's pissing himself or herself. Adam Baldwin is sitting there going, flipping off Nathan himself like this. And he's just standing there. And then finally when it all subsides, he sits down and Nathan just kind of stands there and then goes, oh, that was fucked up. Man, that was fucked up.
Nice.
And that just set the tone. And they've, I think, trying to think out of everybody, because I think the largest Firefly group we've had was Nathan. No, wait. I don't think it was back, but it was Adam. Ah, damn it, now I can't remember. But I know we've had Inara and Jewel and Book and a couple other people that were all at the. I think the only people who have not come to Dragon Con from Firefly has been Zoe and the Doctor.
Oh, weird.
Even
see, Zoe's been in. I don't know.
She does. From what I've heard, she's done Comic-Con, and that's it.
Well, she's done so many. She was in Xena. She was in that
Cleopatra 2525.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
she was also in the Matrix.
Right. She's had so many great sci-fi or fantasy parts. She would be great. She would be a huge draw.
But she doesn't do. She doesn't do conventions.
God, that's a shame.
And I don't know if the guy who played. Who played the doctor? I can't remember his character's name now, but I don't know if he does convention or not. But I've been told that, yeah, whatever her name is now, I can't remember who played Zoe.
I can visualize. Yeah, and that's it.
But yeah, I've seen the only person I didn't get to see when they came was Summer Glau, who played played River.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I need to go back and watch Firefly. I think I have a hankering to do that.
Oh, well, we need to because we're getting ready to start our GURPS campaign. It's going to be based on the Firefly.
Yeah, I've got
to
work on that project, though. Got shit to do tonight. Okay, well, on that note...
You had something else you were going to do. You were going to do the Spartacus. 13. Okay, you were going to do the Spartacus thing, too, anyway.
There's so much stuff to watch. And I've got all the zombie stuff. And you know, I mentioned I've been watching a lot of yaoi anime, which... I keep looking for that perfect hardcore. If anyone out there knows of like some really fucking hardcore yaoi, let me know.
Animated yaoi.
I keep thinking, you know, that I'm finding something. I hear good things about it, and then it's all like softcore, if that. It's like, oh, it's so disappointing. I want to see huge, veiny, throbbing cocks bobbing up and down as the little boy's being fucked. That's what I like. So if anyone knows of anything like that, let me know.
Okay,
we gotta wrap this up. Okay. All right, anything else that you had to say?
Big heart throbbing cock.
Big heart, yeah, fair enough.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. And on behalf of Adam Caro, we could say cowpies.
Cowpies, yes.
Yeah, cowpie. And that's it.
That's it.
Thank you for coming. Be good.
Yeah, be good at it.
Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.